See, I tried that with Jerry last week. It didn't work. Okay. No, I think we can get through most of this. But like Jerry prefaced his message last week, I'm going to use the same thing. Maybe not all today. Okay. We won't get to it all today. Let's pray. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we just thank you and we bless you for all your goodness and your mercy upon us. As we explore prayer once again, we want to look into what it means, not just to us and for us, but what it means to you. We thank you, Lord God, for the time that we have today, and we pray that your words will penetrate our very spirits, that we may hear and understand and obey your words. In Yeshua's name, amen. What is prayer? Simple and to the point, prayer is communion or communication with God. Why should we pray? Why do we need to pray? Number one, because God wants to communicate with us. That's our communication with God. What I say the definition of prayer was? Communion with God. So God wants to hear from us. He cares for us. He loves us. He is our Heavenly Father. So he wants to hear from us. He wants to talk to us. Remember, Yeshua was God in flesh. But even Yeshua prayed, and he taught the disciples to pray. And by teaching the disciples to pray and them recording it, he taught us to pray. I'm only going to read a few of the verses, but I'm going to give you the ones I'm not reading. So you can look at Matthew 11:25, Matthew 26:39 and 42, Mark 14:35 and 39, and Luke chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. But Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 says, "It shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." In the Talmud, we were asked, what does serve him with all your heart mean? And the conclusion the Talmud comes to is, we are required to pray. I talked about before that the Jewish people have a what you might call a tool that helps them in their prayer, and it's called the siddur. It's an arrangement of prayers, and they use that to be able to go through different processes. We do part of that in our morning services, the liturgy that we do, most of which are prayer, many of which are scripture. And it's been said that that's vain repetition, to keep repeating the same thing over and over again, to read the same thing from the siddur over and over again. And again, it's scripture. So how could it be vain repetition to repeat scripture? And I'll say this. If you're reading a siddur, or if you're reciting the weekly blessings and liturgy that we have in our Shabbat service, and it's not coming from your heart, then it's vain repetition. Because it has no meaning to you. It has no purpose for you. It needs to come from your heart. You need to be earnest in your prayers. It's talking about confession of sin. The Talmud says, no amount of prayer or confession of sins can secure atonement unless accompanied by a change of conduct. So in your praying, no matter what it is that you're doing, if you're trying to change something, an action that you keep repeating that may not be the greatest thing in the world, most of us here, I'm going to go under the assumption that most of us here are already saved and are believers. We've already repented of our sins. If we haven't, we need to. However, each and every day we should be repenting of something. Let's face it, there's no way that one can walk through the life that we live in today without crossing that line once in a while. And it's what your heart tells you that's going to count. Your heart's going to make witness, especially if you're communing with God like you should be on a daily basis, then you already are going to know, because when God speaks back to you, he's going to tell you, what about this thing here? He's going to give you the opportunity to repent. Where can we pray? Where do we pray? When do we pray? What's the goal of prayer? We're going to talk a little bit about that. First of all, where to pray? Anywhere. Where you are, God is. And if prayer is communion with God, does it really matter where you are? You can be walking, you can be driving, riding on a bus, you can be on a train, or you can even be at work. There's many opportunities as long as you take the opportunity to avail yourself of prayer. Don't miss the opportunity to commune with your Father. The most important thing is remember your attitude. Attitude means everything. We can't expect God to find time for us if we can't find time for Him. If we're too busy with what we're doing, let me put it this way. God is never too busy to hear you, but if you're too busy to talk to Him, how's He going to talk to you? How's He going to direct you? How's He going to lead you? What is the goal of prayer? Well, let's first talk about what it is not. Number one, it's not to get something that we're requesting. That's not what prayer is. Number two, it's not to make God change, because God doesn't change. Number three, it's not to satisfy our physical or material desires. Now, what prayer is, number one, it's to create or improve our relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come, let us reason together." In other words, communicate. Let's talk. Psalm 145, 18, the psalmist says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." I talked about before, but for the benefit of those that may have forgotten or those that didn't hear it before, the Talmud also talks about when the Second Temple was destroyed. The people said to God, "We are terribly impoverished people. We have no longer have a temple which we can bring our sacrifices to you. We no longer have a format through which we can come close to you when we do something wrong." Well, what did God say about that? He said, "I want words. Bring communication to me. Bring your feelings. Bring your heartfelt emotions to me. Allow yourselves to cry and pray to me, and I will accept you in the same way I always accepted what was done in the temple." So the physical temple is not something that's a necessity to being able to communicate with God. The ancient Israelites, they thought that while the temple's gone, we have no more communication with God. But God said, not so. It's your heart that I want. It's not a building that you walk into. It's none of that. It's what you tell me from your heart. It also says that what God meant, this is what God meant when He said, "I am not interested in your sacrifices and offerings. Rather, I want to hear your words of emotions. Bring yourselves to me." Know that when you speak to God, you are coming before someone who listens intently to your words. How many times have you spoken to somebody and you know that they tuned you out a long time ago, so somehow you want to find a way to end what you're saying because you know it's not being received anymore? God is saying, you can be assured that I'm listening. I'm always paying attention to you, no matter what it is. So bring your words to Him. That's what He wants. He wants communication. In any relationship, whenever you become closer to someone else, they always become closer to you. So if we become closer to God through prayer, He's going to become closer to us. He's never technically any closer than He already is. It's just that we kind of push Him away. He becomes secondary in our life a lot of times because we're so busy with what's going on each and every day. Prayer is also, number two, is supposed to change us. It's easy to ask God for something. But then, if we're seemingly denied the request, we think we wasted our time. But that's not true. Prayer is much deeper than a sophisticated means of taking care of our shopping list. That's not what prayer is about. That's not what God is about. The greatest and ultimate outcome of our prayers is simply connecting with God. How many have ever been in a situation where you hear of a calamity somewhere in the world, somewhere in the country, and you know that you have friends or family in the area? And you desperately keep calling and calling and calling and calling and calling and calling and calling, trying to get a hold of someone to find out if everything's okay. Well, you know that relief you feel when you finally make contact? They say, "Oh yeah, we're fine. We weren't affected, but our phone lines were down because the outlying areas were so busy." But what a relief you felt, right? Same it is with God. When you connect with God, you feel relief. But we have to take the time. We have to take every opportunity which is allowed to us. We have to just make the time a lot of times. There's some times when you say, well, you know, I don't have time to pray. Well, I want to tell you that you don't have time not to pray. Okay, question. Does God need you to tell him something before you can, that he can know about it? Does he not know everything? So it's not the point that God needs you to tell him what's going on, what you need from him. It's not that he needs that. He already knows it. It's that he wants you to communicate. David says in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? And in Psalm 9, verse 10, he says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Number 3, prayer is a deliberate action. From the Hebrew, lehit palel, which means to pray or to judge oneself, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The key word there to me is righteous. The effective prayer of a righteous man. So before you can pray for somebody else, you need to pray for, number one, you need to pray for yourself. Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The Talmud advises that man should always examine himself before offering a prayer. If he can direct his heart to God, let him pray. Otherwise, don't pray. I've learned a long time ago that the first thing I need to do when I approach God for whatever my petition may be, for myself, for others, it doesn't matter. I have to repent. I have to make sure my heart is right before I stand before him with a petition. I have to make sure that John has taken care of everything he knows to take care of and made himself right with God before I stand before his presence on behalf of anybody else. We also read about the work of the heart. In meaningful prayer, we should be asking for what we need to enable us to serve God better, not simply to satisfy our own egos or desires. How can I serve you better? What can I do to accomplish your work, accomplish your will? Not, oh, I would really like a new car, or I would really, you know, this car is kind of ragged and run down and, no, that's not what we should be looking at to God for. How can I serve you better? See, I heard something last week, and I didn't write it down, so I can't quote it verbatim, but you'll understand the intent of this comment. Everything that we do, it's not about us. Not about me, not about you, not about any of us. It's about him. Everything that we do is about him. So we should find out, what can we do for him? What does he want us to do? What is our part in his greater plan? Okay, I said this before, now I'm going to say this again, because I came from a background. I was came up in an apostolic church. And one of the big things that we had was the whole name it and claim it. I want it. I'm going to claim that it's mine and I'm going to get it. But guess what? You know how many times I've seen that fail? More times than I've seen it succeed. We had evangelists come through and say, go out. If you want a Cadillac, go to the store and buy a blank Cadillac key and bring it to me. We're going to pray that you get that Cadillac. You want a new house? Go buy a blank house key. We're going to pray that you get that house. They still have blank keys last time I talked to them. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about us. It's not about possessions. It's not about what we want. It's not about building our status. It's about building his kingdom. Because just think about it. The whole name it and claim it, right? If that's true, then it would go down. Everything's supposed to be an example, right? So if we can name it and claim it from God, well then, Richard, I want your car, okay? I get your car just because I say I'm claiming it right now? No, it doesn't work that way. Your kids, if they could just come up and say they want something and claim it, is that going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. That's not the process that we go through. So why should we expect God to accept that kind of a request? Deuteronomy chapter 11, we read the words, B'chol Levachem, with your whole heart. It can also be translated with any little piece of your heart, because there's no differentiation between a part of your heart and the entire heart. It's all one and the same in the Hebrew. Some things to think about. As believers, you know, could we do what, as believers, in 1 hour, some of the things we as believers could, for just 1 hour each day, to bring change in the world, our home circumstances, and that have bound us, in this hour, 10 minutes on each of these things: repentance, praise, thanksgiving, praying in the Spirit, scriptural prayer, and meditation. Repentance, of course, once again, cleanse me first. Now I can make petitions for others. Praise, how can we stand before a God that has done all that he has done and not offer up praise? We praise him for his grace and his mercy. We thank him in thanksgiving for all of his blessings. Praying in the Spirit, where we allow the Ruach HaKodesh to speak. Too often do we not allow the Ruach to speak, but we want to command the conversation. Then it becomes a monologue, not a dialogue. And scriptural prayer is just simply reciting God's word, and meditation is waiting to hear from him. And you should hear a very familiar thought there, Shema. It's hearing from him. And if you spend 10 minutes in each of those areas and spend that hour, that would be one of the best hours of your day. Now, during an hour of prayer, if just 3 minutes are spent in intense worship, that's pretty significant if that's not what you're used to doing. It's all about learning something, walking in it, and building upon it. Because then the next thing is the 3 minutes becomes 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and it becomes more easy, becomes more comfortable, and you begin spending more and more time communing with God. Rabbi Kirchner was quoted as saying, "True concentration in prayer starts with a single step, not with an iron mind and a genius brain." Okay, on that thought about taking a little more time as you pray and as you're worshiping, how many of you have ever been late to work or school or an appointment? Or anything. Okay, most of you. Okay. Let me ask you this. What were some of the reasons you were late? Stuck in traffic, overslept, things like that, right? How many have ever had the reason for being late for work was, I got caught up in prayer. I spent a long time praying, so I got to work late. Has that ever happened to anybody? Because that would be a wonderful thing. If it has happened to you, I wonder, would you actually tell your boss that that's what happened? Would you go into work and say, "Boss, I'm really sorry I'm late, but you know, I was praying this morning and it got so intense that I just lost track of time. And Lord and I were just in complete fellowship with each other. Next thing I knew, I was late." See, that's something you really have to think about very strongly. Would you do that? Or would you... "Oh, well, you know, I got tied up doing things." That's up to you to decide. When should you pray? Simply this, anytime. You can set times. No, like I said, you might set time in the morning before you go to work. That's the time you pray. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't mean that you can't pray later when you find a little bit of free time and you have an opportunity to pray. I've shared many times before, you know, and Ron can back me up on this. There's times we're driving down the freeway, there's nothing to do. Obviously, there's nothing really good on the radio. What better time to spend that time communicating with God? There's nothing else going on except you're just riding down the road looking at traffic, and it's a waste of time if you don't spend that time praying. Now, I can't understand this concept. I've actually heard people say that I can't find time to pray. I'm too busy to pray. I can't understand the concept, personally. How can you not have time to pray? How can you not take the time to communicate with God? I mean, again, you can pray anytime. Do you always plan when you're going to call a friend or a family member? Don't you sometimes just pick up the phone and call just on a whim? Or maybe you were thinking about them, so you decided to call them? But you don't have a set time that you call them. Well, unlike your friends and your neighbors and your family, you're not going to get an answering machine or voicemail when you call God. He's always there. He always answers. He's always ready to listen. But what kind of relationship would it be if you made that call and you talked to a friend and you just kept talking and talking and talking, said, okay, I'll talk to you later. But the friend never got a chance to put in a word. That's how many people communicate with God. They put out their petitions. They put out their requests. And they go about their busy day, never waiting for an answer, never waiting for a response. He might as well have an answering machine. You're not letting him speak back to you, but he's always there. When you're finished praying, you should always wait for a response. There was something I had said once before that someone asked me for a little clarity on. And because, once again, we're all individuals, we're all different. And this person had told me that he's accustomed to asking and God just sends the answer when he least expects it. And he doesn't have to wait for the answer. It just eventually comes. Well, you know what? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes when you least expect the answer, it's going to come. Sometimes when you ask, you're not going to get an answer. But that doesn't negate the fact that if you don't wait for the answer, you're not going to get it. I still say, wait. He does, you know, sometimes it's a sign. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's someone else giving that word to you, and you know. You know that that's from the Lord because you've already put a petition before the Lord, and someone comes to you and says something, and it just clicks, and there's no way that person knows what your conversation with the Lord was. You know that was your answer. It's like with my kids when they were younger. Well, even now that they're older, sometimes happens. If they, I may ask, they're all different, but I may ask one to do something for me and no hesitation, they just do it. But some of them want to know, okay, exactly how do you want me to do that? Well, that's because of the relationship between us. Same as with God. However he relates to you, that's how you're going to understand him, and that's how he's going to understand you better. Because I have one daughter that I have to tell her step by step how I need her to do it, or it's not going to get done. I have another one that all I have to do is I need this done, and somehow it gets done. She knows what I expect. Regardless of how and when God responds is personal. And remember, these are only some guidelines and examples, and nothing of this is absolute. The only absolute that I can guarantee is that God does hear and God does answer prayer. Remember Daniel. It's the greatest example I can think of. Daniel prayed and fasted. He waited 21 days for the answer to come. But does that mean God waited 21 days to answer? No. God sent the answer immediately. It was because of the battle in the spirit realm that the answer was delayed. And remember, we've been studying about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is a mighty battle that we have to fight. But as long as we come equipped with the spiritual armor, above all, the Word of God, then we're equipped for the battle. And that battle may go on for days, may it go on for weeks. But we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has heard us and that God has answered our prayer. The Talmud also says that true prayer is more than the utterance of the lips. It must come from the heart. From Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41, and I'm going to read the Young's literal translation. It says, "We lift up our heart on the hands unto God in the heavenlies." And the way the Talmud describes this verse, it means a person's prayer is not heard until he places his heart in his hands. In other words, you're completely exposed. You've completely given yourself to the Lord, your whole heart. The positions of prayer, just about anything. Sitting, standing, kneeling, bowing, laying on your face. It just depends on what's going on with you at the time. Some people will never get on their knees and pray. Some people will never bow with their face to the ground and pray. But they may be the most fervent prayer people that you've ever known. But whatever position, again, it's all about the attitude. It's all about your heart and how you're relating to God. From your own heart. The definition of prayer from the Talmud is to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, which is the service of your heart? Prayer. When you pray, know before whom you stand. Only thing required, the position is not important, but what's required is reverence, sincerity, repentance, purpose, consecration, submission, faith, and once again, attitude. In the confession of sin, no amount of prayer, I read this earlier, or confession of sins can secure atonement unless accompanied by a change of conduct. We talked about last time about individual prayer and corporate prayer. I'm going to kind of skim through that quickly. Of individual prayer, you're praying for yourself, for guidance, encouragement, repentance, assurance. And when you pray for others, it's encouragement and repentance. Once again, James 5:16 comes to mind. Corporately, you have to be in unity with those you're praying with. I've been in prayer groups where I hear all through the room the same prayer repeated over and over and over again. What's wrong with that? If we're in unity, if we're in achad, we've already agreed with the prayer when the first person spoke it. All we need to do is affirm it. All we need to do is agree with it and move on. But oftentimes, it's almost like each person wants to be heard saying that prayer. But that's not what it's about. It's about agreeing. Can you say vain repetition? We'll move on from there. Again, Shema. Hear, listen, obey. And when you're finished, wait to see what God's response is. I got news for you. He'll answer. May not be when you want him to, or may not even be what you want him to answer, but he will answer. Okay. I kept praying about this part. And I said it again, I'll say something again. If I step on your toes, just simply say ouch and pick your feet up out of my way. Okay. But I believe this is something the Lord he's been speaking to me about this for literally 26 years. And it's become something I kind of cringe at when I think of when I hear it. Thank you, Lord. When have you ever read in Scripture that you should plead the blood of Yeshua on anybody at any time for any reason? Blood is for atonement. That's it. The atoning blood of the sacrifice covers your sin. That's the purpose of blood. But yet, I hear people plead the blood of Yeshua when they're praying for people. It's not what Yeshua taught. Yeshua said, pray in my name. There's power in my name. And the shed blood of Jesus, or Yeshua, if you, as we call him, is simply to atone for our sins. His blood doesn't heal. His blood doesn't provide any kind of special treatment other than atonement. And I'm going to leave that alone. You can talk to me later if you would like. Prayer is our direct communication with our Heavenly Father. To neglect that contact is to cut off a vital lifeline. We need to examine our motives and desires. James 4, chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you spend it on your own pleasures. David said in Psalm 37, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And we open the service with this morning, 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask, not tell, anything according to his will, not ours, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we asked of him. A lot of people take that and take the 15th verse and say, whatever I ask, I'm going to get it. There's the name and claim it crowd. Verse 14 doesn't say that. Verse 14 sets it up. Verse 14 says, according to his will. How do we know his will? Scripture. He spelled it out for us in plain Hebrew, Greek, and English. All you have to do is read it. You read his word. You become a follower and a studier of his word. Become a disciple of Yeshua. And you learn what his will is. And if you learn what his will is, then you're not going to pray amiss. You're going to pray according to his will. Then you're going to get your request. In conclusion, we need him. Without him, we can do nothing. Don't wait for the next calamity in life to overwhelm you before you seek his face. It's all oftentimes easy when something is happening and it's not so good that we cry out to the Lord. Why don't we cry out when everything is going good? Why don't we cry out in our everyday lives when we're not facing a calamity? Seek him while he may be found, and maybe, just maybe, we can avoid the calamity altogether. I don't know about you, but I could live with that. David in Psalm 27 said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Isaiah said in chapter 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And finally, from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we once again thank you for this day. We thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for the time that we've had together today. We pray that your word would be heeded today. We pray that your word would be received today. We pray, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to continue with us. We thank you for all things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
One last thought I want to leave you with. If you have things that you need to change in your life, change now. Don't wait for a wake-up call, because you might sleep through it. Let's all stand.